First of all, just welcome everyone. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Mark Dean. I am the practice manager for RJ Bird. See the cute little bird up there? RJ Bird Search Group. We're a recruiting company, and I manage the information technology side. Now, I've been in oil and gas and healthcare and some other fields in the past as well, but done this for about 18 years. Doesn't make me profoundly an expert, but hopefully the nuts and bolts that we talk about today will be useful to you. So, first of all, what you should know about me is I can't work the equipment. There we go. I'm not a speaker. That's not what I do for a living. So I'm going to ask for and hope to receive some grace from you all in terms of my style. My presentation method is not articulate. Pete can probably speak to that, I've done some work with him in the past, and that's not where my strengths lie. But hopefully what I'm going to be speaking about is going to have some merit and some value. I am a believer. That's the foundation, the backdrop for what I want to speak about today is we have to have our hearts right to be effective in our job search. And I believe that God has all of us here, wherever we are, me sitting here speaking to you in an uncomfortable place, and you all hearing my uncomfortable presentation. Everyone is in here for a reason, and everyone is where they are in life for a reason, and I firmly believe that. Let's talk about, and one last thing about me. I'm a plagiarist, so you're going to see a lot of stuff here that is not my creation, that is pulled from various sources. I don't take claim or credit for any of it, but I will present it to you, and I endorse everything that I'm saying. About you, most folks in your circumstance, some of you are employed, most of you are not, and you're actively searching. Most folks in your circumstance, and I've met hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of folks like yourself over the years, the primary term that defines you right now is fear. It's fear of getting a job, and it's fear of what the heck happens when I get that job. So it's the dog catches bus scenario. What happens when the dog catches the bus? You know, that, so if you have to go a little bit outside of the scope of what you do to be able to get that job, then you're going to be apprehensive about what's going to happen when you take that job. And there's a lot of folks like you, and I see some nodding heads in the room, that defines you. So first, before we get into the nuts and bolts of resume workshop, I want to talk about the heart workshop. And that starts with not being anxious, knowing that God has you here for a reason. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, perhaps my go-to verse anytime I'm anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's my go-to. James 1, 2 starts with, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. This is part of a refinement process that God has in store for all of you. And then lastly, Proverbs 13:4, a sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. You all are here. That's telling me that you're diligent. So diligent folks, let's get your resume together and let's get out there in the marketplace. So the objectives, what I want to talk about today and what I hope to accomplish by the end of this time together is to have you enabled to do two things. One is to pass the six-second test, the elusive six-second test, and I'll talk a lot about that in just a minute. There's a study conducted by a job board called theladders.com. Some of you may have heard of that. It's a job board that's for kind of senior-level folks, some executive folks, and they conducted a study that is fascinating, and I'm going to tell you a bit about that in a minute and the lessons that we can take from that. And the second is to showcase your value. Now, you notice that I did not say to tell your story or to describe yourself. I said to showcase your value, and we'll talk a lot more about what I mean by that in just a minute. So with that, let's talk about the agenda. Today, I'm going to talk about concepts for a few minutes. I'm going to talk about nuts and bolts of your resume, the components, the building blocks, as I call them, of your resume. And then we'll do some table work at the end. So anyone that needs some specific help that has a resume, stick around, and we'll be happy to walk through your resume with you and hopefully give you some guidance if you're interested. So principles. These are just some broad concepts, okay? We're talking about resumes that must look good first, right? This is marketing and advertising 101. They need to be perfect in grammar and spelling. There's not a whole lot of perfection required on a resume, but spelling, is a must. There, a lot of folks will look at a resume and see a spelling mistake or two, have a little bit of grace. Some will not at all, and they'll just kick it out wholesale. So you need to be cautious of that, make sure it's proofread many times, not just by you but by others. It needs to have a simple, consistent layout. It's always got to be truthful. Not even stretching the truth even a little bit. Always be truthful. Communicate clearly. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about that today. And no complicated language, no business jargon, no industry inside information. Remember, this is not necessarily being read by someone who knows everything that you know. A lot of times, these are folks on the front lines in HR that don't know anything about what you do, and they need to understand. Avoid passives. My pet peeve, and don't be offended because many of you have this on your resume, my pet peeve is responsible for dot, dot, dot. That's a passive, and it doesn't tell me anything. It does not pack that punch that we need to have. So we'll talk a lot more about things that we'll throw a punch, and will be those power words later in the visit. And then we want to talk about you. We're not the least bit interested about your team, your project, your company, your grandma, your dental work, your anything. We're not interested in anything other than what you can bring to the table, and that specifically on your accomplishments and your strengths that you've got to bring to the table. And you'll hear me say that, by the way, quite a few times today, because that is a common thread. Who in here has ever watched Judge Judy? Give me a hand. Oh, come on. All of you like it. One of the things I like about Judge Judy's approach is she does not want to hear your story, right? What she wants to hear is the answers to her questions. And that's exactly what the hiring manager wants to know. The with him, the what's in it for me. They want to know what it is that is going to answer their questions about you and nothing more. They don't want to know the backstory. So let's on that, the concept of modeling is what the HR and the hiring manager, and that could be a corporate recruiter, it could be an agency recruiter, it might be a talent acquisition specialist, you know, all the great buzzwords that we have now. But those folks are going to be looking for something, and they want to see modeled the behavior and the skill set that you have done in previous employment pushing forward. So if you're looking for a job that's an accounts receivable, accounts payable person in an accounting firm, they want to see that you've done that. That's the concept of modeling. They don't necessarily need to hear about your team, your project, and everything else that you might have done, but they need to understand that you can do those things that the job calls for. Now, I know we're talking about how to pack a punch and how to make a resume a powerful document. So let me start by telling you that the resume is a very limited document. It does not replace a relationship, a handshake, a networking event, all the hugs and kisses that go into getting a job. It's a lot more about the phone calls and the face-to-face visits than it is about this document. The document's important, but it only gets you so far, and it only gets you a supporting role in terms of being able to establish that relationship. So it's a credibility document that goes alongside a relationship. The paper does not give you a relationship. Less is more, and I've talked about that, but here it is. Three times I've already said it, and I've just started. The story is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is you and what you can bring to the table. Any questions so far? You guys just jump in. I'm going to have to go real fast because we've got a lot here. But I want you to jump in if you have questions. Okay. Pete. I put a bunch of my business cards on that back table. Just grab them, shoot me an email, say I'd like a copy of the presentation. I'd be happy to email it to you. Yeah, don't feel like you have to take this down because I'm going to be screaming through some pretty action-packed slides here in just a minute, and I don't want to. I'd rather have your attention, but absolutely take notes on anything that I say that's not on the screen. So the 6-second test. This is fascinating stuff even for me. I've done this for 18 years, and I find this to be fascinating. The end of 2012, theladders.com conducted a study, and what they did is they got 30 recruiters, professional recruiters, ranging from corporate recruiters to agency recruiters, talent acquisition folks, HR folks, and followed them over a 10-week period and found out what they did. And one of the slices of this study was about eye tracking. So they put this fancy eye tracking gear on it. You're going to see a heat map in just a second. That's pretty revealing. What it did is it tracked a number of things. One, how long they spent on a resume. It tracked where their eyes went on the resume. It tracked in what order they traveled through the resume. And lots of other neat stuff that we talk about kind of on an internal basis from a recruiting perspective. But from the nuts and bolts of it, the most important thing you can know is that they take, on average, 6 seconds per resume. 6 seconds per resume. That means Some of them take more. Some of them take even less than that. So they need to understand and evaluate you in 6 seconds. So what do we do with that? Well, we need to understand that the resume is a billboard. When's the last time you saw a thesis paper printed on a billboard? You don't. You see a couple of words, right? McDonald's coffee, 39 cents, whatever that might be. You're going to see something that's going to pack a punch. You're going to get the message in a second or two. And that's, as much as we want to tell the story, we need to resist that temptation and be able to punch in the information to our resume. And we're going to get nuts and bolts in just a minute, but I want to deliver some of these concepts. So one of the other interesting things about this this eye tracking technology that they use is it followed their eyes around the page, and it saw that they spent 80% of their time on name, rank, and serial number. Okay, so name, current employment, prior employment, and the dates for those, and their education. That's 80% right there. And then they might have scanned around a little bit and to see if there's anything interesting that jumped out at them. And then they're off to the next one. So, holy cow, a couple lessons that we need to learn from that. One, the most obvious one, is make those things that they're looking for, those 80% that I just talked about, make those readily available to them. Don't hold it back. Don't bury it in the text. Make the current and prior employer, make the dates, make them nice and easy to see. So employment on the left, dates on the right. It's a standard convention for a chronological resume. Abide by the standard conventions. Make it simple, make it airy, make it light. Make it readable. And obviously at the end, clearly communicate the WIFM, you know, the what's in it for me for the hiring manager. Look at everything through their eyes. There's an interesting concept that I want to introduce to you all, and this is the notion of white space. This is something that was actually borne out very well in this study. Folks don't travel with their eyes across text. You don't look from text to text to text. It travels from white space to white space to white space. And so if your resume is dense, you've heard, hey, I need to have it on one page, I need to have it on two pages, I need to smush all my information into these couple pages, take note. That's not going to help. That's going to make people pitch these resumes aside as quickly as they can because it's too much eye strain. They want to move past it. They're not going to look for dense paragraphs. If it's more than two or three lines, it's probably going to get missed. It doesn't mean that that's a universal truth that you have to pack everything into two or three lines, blocks. But you certainly need to pay close attention to that and know that if you densely pack it, they're not going to read it. Far better that you take large chunks of your information, the story, remember, that Judge Judy doesn't want to hear, the hiring manager doesn't want to either. Take all that stuff out and just leave in there the accomplishments, the strengths, what you bring to the table. So let's look at one of these. You're looking at a before and after. So the before is a resume that a candidate created. And this is the eye-tracking software that follow these recruiters. And you can see where their eyes went. Okay, so first of all, a couple of things you'll notice. The after we'll talk about in just a second. But the before on the left-hand side, you notice that there's the power box in the upper left-hand corner where the eyes immediately go to first. That's just how the recruiters are programmed to look at the name and then down to that power box. What they're looking for is maybe a summary information perhaps, but more likely where your current employer is. They're almost always going to go there second after they look at the name. Now, interesting too, note where all these little boxes are. Do you see that there is not text there? So what we're looking for is white space for the eyes to be able to travel. If you want to be able to, one of the things that they did do is add a little white space in here, but look at these big blocks. Look down at the bottom. See that poor, sad, lonely block of text that somebody spent probably a heck of a lot of time putting a lot of thought and a lot of hard work into toiling between, you know, excellent or superior or, you know, all these words that they probably spent hours creating that text. Not a soul is going to see that. And the shame of it is that they put a lot of work into it, and there's probably a lot of good information in it, but no one's going to read it because it's too hard in the eyes, and they don't have enough time. So the one on the right, I'm not going to get into the hows and whys because you can't really read the text to understand it, but this was rewritten by a couple of professional recruiters, and you can see that it's more dispersed, and there's a lot of eye traffic all across the page. That's what we're going to try to communicate to you today in terms of being able to build some white space in, build some logical flow into it. See, this is very easy for me to see. I don't know if you can see from there because, again, it's pretty dense, but this is broken into easy-to-find blocks. Professional experience, director of network architecture. You know, these are nice segmented ways. I don't know about the lines in there. I don't necessarily agree with putting lines like that in there, but I think it's useful to see that a segmented approach made the eyes rest at those segments. Questions so far? Okay, so lessons. We talked about the idea of the billboard, and that these big blocks of text aren't even read. And so we want to keep it short. We want to cut every single thing out of your resume that is not germane to you getting that next job. So if it's a story, if it's talking about a project that you did, it's not going to be read. Talk about what you accomplished. Talk about the three bullet points that you accomplished in that project. But just defining the project, telling me what ABC Company does for a living, what your team looked like, you know, how many folks were on it. It's not going to be read. In fact, what it will serve to do is distract the hiring manager from the actual important information that's buried in there. So we want to take out all the distractions to be able to see just what we want to see. In that, this isn't terribly common, but every now and then we see some charts, graphs, you know, neat infographics, as we call it in our industry. Those things aren't read. Typically, unless you're on the creative side, I didn't see anyone when I walked around earlier on the creative side. But if you're on the creative side of the world, you're an art director or graphic artist, whatever that may be, then that's a totally different story for you. But for the rest of us folks, it's too much eye strain, and the visual complexity of these infographics isn't going to help you much. It's not going to sell you. They're simply not going to look at it. And then finally, left-hand alignment of the action words. And we're going to talk about action words in just a minute. So I've heard a lot of questions before about what format to choose. I think most of you are probably going to go toward that left-hand side there with the chronological. The functional is a infrequently used technique to be able to essentially cover up big blocks of time where you've been absent from the workforce, whether that's taking care of a loved one, raising kiddos, or whatever it might be. A lot of folks will try to talk you into the functional resume, where you're going to emphasize your skills, and it's going to be sorted instead of by date, it's going to be sorted by function and what you would bring to the table in terms of a skill set. It's kind of a last-ditch effort. If you cannot make a chronological resume work for you, go with it. My recommendation is wholeheartedly to go with the chronological. The traditional reverse chronological order resume, it effectively models. It shows you specific jobs that you've worked at and what you've done at those jobs, and that is much more revealing to a potential employer. And this functional resume, it's terribly frustrating for those folks who read these resumes all day to come across a functional one, because it is a showstopper. You come across this and you stop in your tracks, and you either say, I really need to read this, or much more often, you just pitch it aside. These don't get read terribly often. Any questions on functional versus chronological? Yeah. Yes. Right.
But you feel like you need to show integrity, show exactly where you've been?
Yes.
How do you do that?
Well, okay. Yeah, the functional, a typical functional model will have a list of in chronological order of your jobs toward the latter part of the resume. There's a lot of good examples of that on the internet that you can go see and see what they look like. My recommendation still is that even if you have unrelated, I'm doing the air quotes on unrelated, because I don't know that there is unrelated work. I think that you can pull out traits and character qualities that you learned and honed in on, and skills that you learned in just about any job that would make you useful for the next if you look hard enough. That's my argument. It's not universal. I know there might be some disagreement on that. Was there another question?
Yeah. Chronological, I've got a big pothole because I've been so busy, but work.
Yeah.
I would think it functional would be better for me,
I'm not going to talk you out of it. There are a few cases where a functional resume is going to work. My recommendation to you, though, is that unless you have a real significant relationship with the hiring manager, the HR person, whoever you're going to be putting this in front of, where you can have that conversation as they're reading it, or pick up the phone and say, hey, Bob, I'm sending it over. Take a look at it. Now, let me walk you through it. If you can have that kind of conversation, then functional might work for you. These functionals in front of just your average recruiter, and again, the 95% of you guys are going to be putting these in front of a recruiter, whether you know it or not. Whether it's an HR person or someone on the front lines, it's rare that it's going directly to the hiring manager. They're simply not going to read it. They're not as likely to read it. It's frustrating for them. Better to simply put a one line in there in chronological order, you know, cared for a loved one or something. You don't even have to get specific with that. You know, not unrelated, non-industry specific work or whatever that might be from X year to X year. You know, far better that you do that and you just come clean because that's what they're looking for. And better to give them what they're looking for quickly. And then they can say, okay, someone's being straight with me and they'll read on. I mean, that's our, Jenny, I mean, is that your take? Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so let's just get down to some nuts and bolts here. Let's talk about format and mechanics. This is not universal, but I would say as a general rule, 2 pages max. Boy, if you can fit it on one, then all the better. It's tough to do, particularly if you have gray hair on your head like I do. It's going to be tough to be able to get all that smushed into one page. Even just listing names and dates, it gets kind of tough, right? But if you want to actually say something about them, then you need to go into the two-page territory. It's going to be tough for anyone to read past 2 pages. So just know if your story is a 4-page, a 6-page, an 8-page story, you remember how that bottom block of text looked? That's the way all pages 2 through 8 are going to look. They're just not going to get any traction. And please just save yourself the carpal tunnel. Don't type all the rest of that. Just do it on 2 pages if you can. Label every page. just in the event that they get separated, I think it's always useful to have Mark Dean page 2 somewhere on the second page, just so we don't get these separated. Simple font choice. I've seen some crazy fonts in my time. Don't do it. You know, just go with Arial, go with Tahoma, go with any of these traditional ones. The crazier they get, the slower I read, and the slower I read, the less I read. Because I'm still giving you 6 seconds. I mean, that's in the end, you're not getting more time just because it takes me longer to read the thing. I'm just going to get frustrated and pitch it aside. And I probably won't even know why I'm frustrated, just because I'm tearing through it as quickly as I can. For folks like myself who have been in the workforce for more than 10 years, I suggest that you truncate it, that you drop off the last 5 or 10 years, unless it's very germane to what you're doing right now, very necessary to complete the story that we're trying to present. Otherwise, drop it. You don't even need to validate its existence. Remember, this is for your advertising purposes. This is your advertising document, so you can make this as you want it to be. Use current terminology. One of the things that's interesting, we call it source code. You tend to find a lot of legacy data back there for IT folks. I guess there aren't any IT folks in here. Some of that old data that talks about a job that you had from 1990-something to 1990-something that might have, you know, data processing manager, you know, or MIS, or any kind of antiquated terminology. Make sure you read through those and you update them. You put them in current terminology. You put it in the same consistent format as you're using it with the rest of the resume. And then no insider terms. Just try to avoid acronyms. For example, if you're in accounting, you want to talk about AR and AP. I actually recommend that you do use those, but you also use the other. So you say accounts payable, parentheses AP. That way, it gets picked up by these search engines either way. Absolutely recommend that, though. There are going to be some folks there that HR person may be just a brand new person, maybe a very smart person, but know nothing about accounting, and look at AR and say, boy, sure wish this person had accounts receivable, you know, but all they have is AR, so whatever that is, and off you go. And that happens a lot. And then finally, no personal pronouns. Just simply don't do it. No I, me, my, your, none of that. This is a professional document, and we need to make it look that way. Questions so far? Well, I would talk to some folks in your industry. I would even grab a recruiter. You know, make sure it's a senior level recruiter that you're talking to. Know who you're talking to. You can do a little bit of research on the internet and find out who the long-term players are. There's, you know, if you ask me in your industry who some of the players are that I would trust, I'll tell you and I'll give you some recommendations. So find those who you can trust, and then they'll network you in and get you around. But people are always willing to tell you. People want to talk about themselves, right? So that's the first thing we want to leverage. And this is not an interview workshop, but in an interview, what's the one thing we want to do? We want to talk about the other person, right? We want to get them to talk. And so if you ask somebody for help, they're going to help you. I mean, most people are willing to help you as long as it's like, hey, listen, you look like an industry professional. You know, will you help me out? Oh, I'm an industry professional. Yeah, sure, I'll help you out. Love that. Everyone wants to hear that, right? Okay, so format mechanics continued. Consider using your LinkedIn address. There's one little feature in LinkedIn. We're not going to get into LinkedIn too heavy right now, where you can create your own address. So instead of 10521.html. It's Mark Dean. It's LinkedIn slash, I think, markdean.com. So consider using that. Check that out. If you don't know how to do it, grab me and I'll walk you through it. And consider putting that on your resume. Also, use a professional email address. I can't tell you how many times a day I see one of these examples. You know, I love cats, beer drinker, whatever that might be. If you have a personalized email address, consider using one of these free email accounts, the Hotmails or whoever it might be, Yahoo, that will let you pick a John Doe type of email address. Also, check your voicemail greeting. This is one often overlooked part of the resume. We're only talking about the header right now, right? And when they decide, hey, listen, Mark Dean looks like a good guy. I'm gonna give him a call. And they call up and they hear me and my wife kind of singing together or doing something goofy, right? Or they hear you know, some celebrity on you know, Ted Danson doing a Cheers rendition on my outgoing voicemail message. They're not going to want me as an employee. So step one is to make sure that you have a professional sounding outgoing voicemail message, that all the nuts and bolts behind this are going to make you look professional. And I see people trip up on these things all the time. No long blocks of text. We talk about photos. We want to avoid. And don't include the list of references. I mean, that's not part of the resume. For one thing, it's a distraction. For another thing, it's not particularly fair to your references to just give those away to anyone that might be able to get a hold of them. You want to be a little more judicious with those if you can. So now we're going to get down into the nuts and bolts. Now we're going to talk about the components of the resume, and we're going to go through them as quickly as we can because we're going to run a little bit long. But absolutely jump in, please, if you have questions as we go, because I am going to go a little bit quick. The header. Place this this in the body of the document. If this is likely going to be something that you're going to be emailing or uploading somewhere, if you're putting it into the header, you know, these neat word processing programs like Microsoft Word and others have these really fancy looking headers. If you put them in there, some old ATS, applicant tracking systems, kind of like a CRM that recruiters use, some of those old ones won't pick it up. And so you'll be in their system, and when they're ready to call you, they won't be able to know how to get a hold of you if you have all your contact information in that header. So always put that directly in the body. Emphasize your name. Make it bold. Make it a bigger font. Make it both. Just as long as it stands out from the rest of the text. And use city, state, and zip every single time. There a couple of reasons for this. One, the applicant tracking systems that all of us recruiters use, and we all use them, by the way, even the little tiny firms to the big firms are all using some kind of technology. When I go looking for someone, I go punch in 10 miles from 75240, and that's how I'm going to search. If I don't have your zip, I may just put you in the wastebasket because, you know, we're moving at light speed here. Always use city, state, and zip. My recommendation, particularly for the ladies, I highly recommend that you leave off your street address for obvious reasons, security reasons. You don't know where this resume is going to end up. It does not help anyone in their job search. Just simply leave that off for security reasons. Any questions? Better not to have a P.O. box at all and just do city, state, and zip. Your P.O. has a zip code there. No one's going to be sending you hard mail anyway. With the presumption that you have some kind of an electronic way to reach you, that's how they're going to communicate with you. They're unlikely to send it to you the old-fashioned way. The reason we originally did that with street addresses is because we might be mailing you job descriptions. We might be corresponding with you. We're not doing that anymore. So there's no need for that. And, in fact, it even adds a little layer of question mark to you. You know, P.O. box, you know, what are you trying to hide, right? Okay. Now we get to the next building block. Objective versus summary. How long have we been debating this one? The debate is between, do I want to do an objective where I talk about what I want to be when I grow up? Do I want to do a summary which talks about what I am? Or do I want to do none of it and just get right into my resume? Well, I'm going to leave that up to the debate masters, but I'll give you my opinion. My opinion is that the objective is not particularly useful. And this is just my opinion, but it's not particularly useful. It does not really provide the WIFM, the what's in it for the hiring manager. And there's all kinds of ways for you to be able to trip over your own feet on this. You know, what if you say, I'm a results-oriented guy who wants to work for a large company or a fast-growing company. Well, what happens if the fourth quarter results just came in and they're not moving so fast anymore? They're going to say, well, is this guy going to be content in this kind of role in a company that's in a mature marketplace? Well, you may have put that in there just thinking, hey, everyone wants to be in a fast-growing company, right? Well, you don't know the unintended consequences of what you might say in there. Far better for you to speak about what you know, which is yourself, right? That's my opinion. Also, by the way, the objectives can be viewed as self-serving if you're not careful. You know, a position where I can gain experience. Well, that's not that doesn't speak to the WIFM, right, for the hiring manager or for the HR person. Who cares about you guys? We're looking for what we need for our team, right? That's their perspective. Okay, moving into the summary. If you want to go with a summary, which is my recommendation, again, just my opinion, you want to tell what you can do at your new employer, right? So you want it to be short. You want it to be specific, personalized, objectively true, so that there is no question as to the truth of what you're saying.
Question.
Yeah.
Personalized, but you can't use the pronoun?
Yes. Personalized as in about you. I'm not saying I am this, I am this. What I'm saying is things that speak specifically to me and my skill set, something that draws me out as being unique or different. Every one of us has those things. Some of us don't necessarily go down one level. We talk about results-oriented sales guy who does this. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the next thing down. Are you energetic? Are you a low-key guy? Are you, yeah.
The summary be where you drop in the Myers-Briggs, the strength finders.
Maybe. Maybe just in encapsulated form, maybe just drop it in, the results of it. I don't know that I would say it by name. I don't know that I would call it out, you know, the Myers-Briggs or the peak or... and I don't even know that I would say that I gleaned it from that. I would just say that that's who I am. In other words, if you're already bringing in witnesses, you haven't made your case, right? So I'd just say make your case and say who you are, absolutely based on information that you might have gotten from one of those personality tests or strength finders or Myers-Briggs, PEAK, whatever that might be. Those are all good ways to know how to summarize yourself. Also, my pet peeve, corporate speak, paradigms, synergies, core competencies, dynamic. Everyone's dynamic. Come on. I mean, that's one of the things we don't want, right, is dynamic people who we can't trust. We want people who are stable and steady and consistent. Empowerment and all these corporate speak, just leave all this stuff off because no one really pays much attention to that. It's not particularly trustworthy anyway. Be real. You know, be authentic. Use simpler language that cuts right to who you are. 2 to 3 sentences max. That's my recommendation. Other people will write the paragraph, but again, what happens with paragraphs? Anyone? They don't get read, right? They get skipped right on over. So let's jump into experience. Okay, so this can be called work experience, work history. Experience can be called a lot of things. I think they're all appropriate. I don't particularly have an opinion on that. We all know what we're looking at. We're probably not even going to notice the header anyway. List your duties briefly, but demonstrate your results extensively. All right? So whatever duties are absolutely positively necessary to tell who you are and what you did there, and nothing more. We don't care that you took the trash out. We don't care that all the specific tasks that you did are not particularly relevant, but talk to us about what the results are. You know, how did you perform against that? Again, here, this is the fourth time I've said it. Avoid details of company, team, mission, project, grandma, everything else. And then job titles. We tend to have some kind of adherence to the titles that we have been given as though it were our name from birth. That is not a name from birth. Those are our positions or roles. My recommendation is that if you have a title like systems analyst for, you know, if you ever worked for a defense contractor, that doesn't tell me anything, but a senior Java programmer does. So this is about the position and the role. Remember, this is your document. This is what you own to be able to project your best image forward. So if you need to put to change that title, if it's non-descriptive, then absolutely change it. Make it your own. And then whenever possible, use numbers to quantify your successes, if that's appropriate and if it fits you. Manage a team budget exceeding $400,000. Fantastic. Wrote a proposal that resulted in a $100,000 grant for the company. Terrific. People can wrap their brains around numbers much easier than concepts. Now, we talked about accomplishments. So what do we want to do with accomplishments? Some of you folks are saying, but wait, I can't do accomplishments because that's not the nature of what I did. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's what job tests are about. But if you have accomplishments, specific things, and dig deep for these, then you need to broadcast that. So promoted to team lead as a result of consistently demonstrating blah, 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 blah. That's powerful. And that's an accomplishment. We want to make sure and pull all of those out in bullet point form beneath each job. Job tasks, Now, you notice here the accomplishments started with an action verb, and we're going to talk about power words here in just a minute in some detail. In the event that you are a store clerk and you simply don't have accomplishments, it's not appropriate for the nature of what you do. Bless you. Then you want to start with a power adverb. Okay, so not an adjective, but an adverb. So accurately filed documents to ensure staff had easy and quick access to all critical information. Or tactfully and courteously, I love this sentence, by the way, tactfully and courteously handled difficult customers at busy, high-volume retail outlet. That's a powerful statement for a retail clerk, right? They had no accomplishments because they may not be appropriate to them. But you absolutely wanted to position yourself with power, and you do that either with a power adverb or with an action verb. Questions on this part? Awesome. Okay, so here's a couple of little examples. A before version is maintained records for accounts receivable and payable. Kind of sleepy, right? How about this? Managed over 1,000 accounts receivable and accounts and payable accounts, working directly with the CFO. Boom. Right? That actually speaks to you. How about this? This is the before version. I gave work assignments to staff of entry-level accounting clerks. Very sleepy. Now, let's do the power-packed one. Directed workflow. Supervised and trained accounting staff performing the posting to general ledger accounts receivable and payable accounts. Boom. Right? It's the same job that we just described in words that have power behind them. Instead of gave is a very passive thing, right? I mean, I could give this to Peter and then I'm done, right? It doesn't seem like much of an accomplishment, but if I directed, supervised, and trained Peter, then I've done something, right? That's what we're looking for today. Power words. Memorize all these right now. You can get this list. I just pulled this right off of Google, but this is a great list. Go to Google and type the word or the phrase power words and resume, and you'll get a bunch. And I just copied some of them, but it doesn't matter what your role is, what your position is. Not all of us are managers or directors, and so you can't always use those great power words like supervised and directed and managed. But there's all kinds of other really good power words that describe what every single one of you does for a living, and that's what we want to employ in here. That needs to be the first word out of each bullet point, left aligned, because as my eyes travel, I'm looking down the page. Left alignment. And if I see quantified, supervised, targeted, taught, instead of gave or responsible for, then I've got a totally different impression of who you are. Is that fair? Yes. Adverb, if you don't have a power verb that describes what you do, if you don't have an accomplishment, then start with an adverb. In other words, if you are forced into a situation because of the nature of your work that you must list tasks, then, like a store clerk is a great example, and there are many others. But there are no specific accomplishments that we can point to. No power words. What are you doing? You're organizing the display. That's not much of a power word. But what you can do is use those power adverbs to describe tasks. So when you have to describe tasks, use the power adverbs. Did that clear it up?
It's for things like data entry or
correct. So how did you answer the phones? Courteously? I mean, tactfully, right? Diligently? Right. Those are the kind of words that we're going to use. How are we doing? Okay. Okay. Education section. If you are a recent grad, consider putting it at the front. In other words, toward the top. Otherwise, for virtually everyone else, you need to drop it in the back. That's where we're accustomed to seeing it. Recruiters are accustomed to knowing that it's there and that's where it belongs. So you go in the order. One of the things I did not show you that I think would be interesting if we had more time is the order within which these IT heat maps were traveled. So you started at the name and then you worked your way around. Education was one of those. It was actually third. So first was the name, then the current employer, and then down to education, and then back up to experience again. And it was interesting to watch where the eyes traveled on that. So if they don't find it down there, can be frustrated, a little disoriented, may even pitch it aside if they're in real high-speed mode. So consider that. If you have a college degree, don't put high school. It's not necessary. If you did not finish your college degree, then consider putting your high school on there. Don't abbreviate the school name. I'm a TCU Horned Frog. I think everyone in the world should know who TCU is. That's just me. But there are a lot of folks, if you're from, well, way far away, maybe Massachusetts or somewhere really far away from here, that might not know who TCU is. I need to put Texas Christian University, Fort Worth, Texas, there, and I need to put what my degree was. Also, never lie. It's going to come back to you. It just will. It may not come back today or tomorrow, but you're certainly going to pay for it in the long run. Put down exactly what happened. If you're not proud of what it is, then don't put it on there. Simply leave it off. This is your advertising document, right? And don't include the GPA unless it's really strong. My GPA is not on my resume, and for a good reason. You don't want it on there if it's not going to sell it. And then, of course, any relevant certifications. Certainly, everything, you know, IT folks have all kinds of certifications. We need to see that. That's oftentimes a requirement. Accounting folks, CPAs, whatever certifications might be appropriate to you, safety certifications for folks out in the field, whatever they might look like. Questions?
If you've got initials behind your name, CPA or whatever, do you put that in your header as a marker?
I've heard competing things on that, and I for one, I'm inclined, unless you have a long litany of them, if you have one, I'm inclined to say, you know, put that on there, if it's relevant to what you're looking at doing. If it's a long litany of, you know, three separate acronyms, might not look right. Just from a personality standpoint, might not be what I would be looking for. Don't know. Okay, so wrapping it up with the building blocks, there's just absolutely no reason to write references available upon request. We all know it. That had its place in its time, but it's an outdated practice. Avoid personal information of any kind. I know I have, even in my long history, I've put down there married with kids or whatever else. Just don't do it. It's not meaningful. Again, any text, any word, any character that you put on your resume that is not germane to you getting that next job is going to distract you from getting it. It's going to distract that hiring manager. And then finally, stay professional. If it's cute, if it's funny, it's a bad idea. Just don't do it. If it has anything to do with outside charities, anything else unless those things directly pertain to what you're doing, I'm a believer. I go to Watermark. I'm plugged in here. I have a lot of charity things that I like to plug into. Those things are not on my resume. It just simply doesn't sell me in the way that I need to be sold. So, action steps moving forward. First, we're going to take any questions, see if you guys, anything that you want to discuss as an open forum. And then we're going to do a little bit of table work right now. I put my business cards on the back table, so I'd welcome anyone to contact me. I'm happy to send you a copy of this slideshow if you'd like. I'm also happy to talk to you offline. If you want to talk about resumes offline, I'm happy to do that too. And then pray hard and work hard. Jenny, did you have a couple things?
Yeah.
Sure. Does anyone have a good example written up? I'm not sure that I have one off the top of my head. So you're going to say it in improper English. You're going to say, you know, energetic, committed, professional with a desire for. Lynn, do you have any suggestions? Anything come to your mind? Yeah, we can do that on a case-by-case basis. I'm happy to walk through. I mean, we need to do a quick interview with you, you know, a 2 to 3 minute interview to understand what makes you tick. You know, what do you think you're bringing to the table? It's a very personalized type of approach, but it absolutely needs to leave those personal pronouns off. Was there any? Yeah.
I know I graduated cum laude.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you find out what your GPA is. Should you put that on there, or do you just let that slide?
You can just write that, what you just said. Yeah, sure. Sure. I think that's impressive. That would sell me. Yeah.
And if school is in process, I talked to someone recently whose school was kind of in process. They hadn't been in class for quite some time, and their resume said it was in process. And to me, that wasn't really true. They weren't actively taking the class. But if you're actively taking classes, put the school in process. That's what.
Absolutely, I can buy that. Any other questions? Any other thoughts? Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. If you guys want to, right now we're going to do a little bit of table work. If you have your resumes, pull them out, and Lynn and Jenny and I will walk around and we'll give you a little hands-on one-on-one coaching. All right?
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.